Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Lori Moore, and I'm especially happy today because I have the rare honor and privilege to interview a good friend of mine who has taught me so much and who has given so much generously to my life. Her name is Mary Margaret Rose. She's a spiritual healer. She's a reverend of the Earth Mother Father Foundation. And she's a heart intuitive who has worked with the angels and benevolent light beings since she was a young child. It came to her naturally. So I'm very happy to be able to bring her to you today so we can learn more about her work. Mary Margaret, would you tell us about the gifts that you have coming into you at a very young age, what your first memories are of this?
Well, first I'd like to say hello and thank you for inviting me. This is wonderful. You're one of my most favorite people, and I had the privilege of watching you develop since, I believe it's 1994. I think we looked it up, and that's what it was. And to see you leap ahead and then get into what I call, you know, the stalemate position where you say, I don't know anything. All of a sudden, I've lost everything. And then within weeks, the new gifts come in and the new knowing. And I've been privileged to watch that close at hand for years. So thank you again for inviting me. My mother said she believes I was around 2.5 when I was running up and down, had my arms in the air, and I appeared to be chasing something. So, of course, she looked up. She didn't see anything. So that went on for a few days, and then she got the idea to ask me, what do you see? What do you see? And the way I said, ain, and got very frustrated. And finally she said, angels? Are you seeing angels? And then I repeated after her, angels, angels. And she would, her voice would go real high, trying to explain to me. She was so excited. My aunt lived next door, and she ran over and just yelled, hurry, hurry, and came back. And so my aunt arrived carrying her youngest child, and she said, Margaret, show Aunt Edith where they are. So I started pointing and trying to reach up, and then the two of them got the idea that they should run and reach up, and they could feel the warmth of the angels. And that was an opening for them, for both of them. And they were both young mothers. My mother had me at age 19. And so I would tell them what they were saying. I would tell them some of the, you know, they talked to me in a very simple way so I could say everything to my mother and aunt. When I got very upset, and there was a lot in my childhood with my, what I call my birth father, very cruel person. He didn't care who he hit, how far he sent you through the air, and always threatened to hurt us severely if my mother wouldn't do exactly what he told her. So this was when she realized I was talking to angels. This gave her the hope that she would become strong enough to defy him and run away, which is what happened when I was 8. So I'm the oldest of 4 children, my mother got in the habit of talking to me because I understood more than the other kids.
Yes.
So it was, I would say I was so connected, and when I would be very sad and terrible things were happening, I would call them in, and I would, like, curl up in their energy. The best way I could describe as a very young child. Mm-hmm. And then I started to see them, and that was even more exciting. And I would say that the cruelty of my birth father, I was able to survive because of the angels, being able to see them, hear them. And they would tell me to close my eyes and things would get better. And then I reached a place where I was able to help my sister, so that when he was challenging us, or he hit us, or he would pick us up and throw us across the room to hit the wall, I could also talk to her until she could feel better. It's almost like we were taken out of body.
Yes.
Several times we should have been damaged severely, and neither of us were.
And somehow this beautiful gift of the angels connecting with you to help you in such horrific circumstances, you turned into service so that you began to work with the angels to help others in need. And from what you're saying, that obviously started right away because you were in service to your family.
Right. And the other thing that I put together as I got older is my grandmother and grandfather would take us to visit people who were sick.
Yes.
And I remember that, like, there was one gentleman and he couldn't see very well, and they were putting different compresses, you know, a compress. And he would say, "Ethel, could you put your granddaughter closer to me? When she's closer to me, I feel better. The pain leaves."
Ah, wow.
So I remember that from a very early age. And she would say, "Well, she's shy." And she said, "I'm going to sit her on my lap and we'll move to the chair next to you."
Oh.
And so I was sitting in my grandma's lap, and then it was easier for me to begin to talk to the people. And he would say, "Well, God sent you here, little lady. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but God bless you." And a lot of the people that she took me to see that were ill would say things like that. And it didn't really impact me, I'm going to say, until I was, I'm going to say, between 8 and 10 years of age. All of a sudden, it made sense. You know, it didn't make sense. I was used to adults saying that. And, you know, you're a kid. You don't put any reflections or things to that. Then by the time I was that age and asking a lot of questions of God, and then at age 8, the miracle happened. My mother got the courage to approach my birth father's brother, who was a totally different temperament. And he made plans, and my maternal grandparents sold their home and moved suddenly. We didn't know that. We as children didn't know that. So that when he made the move to get my mother out of there, his brother would never find us. So we moved to a totally different community.
Wow.
And so he... and they came to see us. We never went to see them. And he stayed very close to the family and my aunt, her sister. So we were very connected over the years. I guess my birth father never found out that he helped.
Yeah. Now, something that's always struck me the most about you is that even though you've endured situations under which some people would become cynical, you've always stayed very innocent in your heart. Not innocent meaning unaware. You're very aware of the world and the many complexities and troubles of it, but you've stayed very loving and positive and very generously committed to the, I feel your vibration is committed to the well-being of all, as are all the choices I've seen you make, the way you operate your life, which is very rare, a state of evolution. And that just seems to be who you are, and that comes naturally to you, and you're just full of love. Is there, I don't know if there's anything you want to say about that. I wanted to let the listeners know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that the biggest thing was at a very young age, I could feel the physical suffering of people. I didn't understand that right away. It took me a while, you know, to understand that. But it was like I knew when somebody was suffering. I knew when what was hurting them. Then I became aware of where the hurt was.
Yes.
And I was shy as a child. I think it was because of the abuse. But as I got older, you know, that started to wear away. And I would be able to, I'd force myself in the beginning to say, I feel like you don't feel well. And they would be very startled because I started that when I was about 7, I would say.
Wow, yeah.
And my mother would say, if she's bothering you, tell me. Bothering me? All of a sudden, the pains are getting less.
Wow.
So I would go over and sit by the person or talk to them. And I would say by the time I was 10 that I understood when somebody was suffering. By age 10, I understood more what it meant to suffer. I had several brushes with leaving the planet starting at age 4. I had an illness, and the doctor said, we're not going to be able to pull. And I remember hearing him say, we're not going to be able to pull this baby through. And so everybody started praying, and that was a big thing. It's not so much we were religious, where, you know, you went every Sunday to church, but we were very close to God. And it immediately... my grandmother would say, God, look on this child. My mother would start talking. Everybody started talking to God, and things would just disappear. They would go away. And it was never so much healing from a doctor as it was like you felt this warm energy, which was the God healing energy. And then later I understood that a lot of it was the Christ healing energy. And the other thing is I wasn't able to be that open in the communities that we lived in. So my mother would say, you can help quietly because the people would not understand what I was saying or doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so up until my mother returned to God, she would call on the phone. My stepfather, who treated us like his own children, they chose to move up north, away from Los Angeles, to Santa Maria. And so when they first moved, that was 4.5 to 5 hour drive. And then the freeway started coming through, and I could go there in 2.5 hours. So I went quite a bit more often, especially as my children grew. But my father would always say, and I did call my stepfather my father, and when I was 21, I had a long conversation with my mother that I want to pay for him to adopt myself and my sister, and then I'll gather more money and pay for him to adopt my two brothers. The attorney that was helping me said, you know, we need his consent. We just can't do this. And I said, how close, how far in advance can we keep it a secret until, you know, it's the last moment? And so he called my mother, and, oh, my mother was so excited. She didn't even tell me. He said, oh, she's been saving money for the two girls, and then she'll start saving the money for the two boys. Oh, my mother cried and cried, you know. But anyway, when I was 21, I was legally adopted by him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he didn't feel good, and not very often because he was a strong gentleman, you know, I would say, Daddy, can I touch your hand? And a few minutes later, he'd go, he had a pet name for my mother that was, you know, her name was Jeanette, and he would call her Zelda. Zelda, the pain is gone.
Wow.
So it
yeah,
was.
And I've seen this skill used firsthand because I've, you know, I like to tell friends and colleagues and family members about you, and I've seen you create these healings. And what's always been very curious to me, because I, that deep empathy you have is something I relate to, but an ability to sense future events is not something in my own scope of experience. So when you've actually personally mentioned to me that some very wonderful things were about to happen to me more than once that I could not believe would really be happening, and then they did.
Isn't that fun?
I was in awe. I was quite surprised. Yeah. Can you say anything about that?
Sometimes I'll ask God, you know, this is such an unusual person, and I say that mostly for you because you have a scope of doing things and pulling people together. And isn't there anything wonderful about to happen that I can talk to her about and get her ready? Because one thing I noticed, if you have a little heads up, you just go right through it, boom, and it just magnifies into a huge, you know, project or successful wonderment. And so I don't always ask for everybody. You know, I'll say, can I ask for something? Is this appropriate? I always ask if it's appropriate. And there's a lot of people that I work with, and it's not appropriate, so I can't do that. But many times, a spirit will come in and actually say to me, and I've never told you this before, is that the life she's chosen to make her strong, and this is talking about your God contract, is very frustrating at this point. And the other thing I'm being reminded right now by God is to emphasize that you and I, your partner, and many of the people around us are what is called ascended masters in human form. So no, we don't go around, we're not Mother Mary or Jesus and so many of the other ascended masters. But what happens is that we have chosen, when we were drawing up our God contract with God just before we came to planet Earth, there's not many people who are in the God dimension, get bored, and want to come back into another lifetime will come to planet Earth. We're the only planet left in a third dimensional situation. And so the people who want to shift their contracts, get a better understanding, the people who have the courage to come here, because the third dimension is a very difficult place for the many. What happens is we draw up our God contract with God, ourselves, actually standing and looking out. We can see our past lives and future lives. We know what to balance. And the planet left that's the easiest place to come into balance is third dimensional Mother Earth. And so we come here and we balance in a way that will help all of our future lives. It's just wonderful.
Mm.
And you just can't talk to anybody about this because they get upset, they get scared. And so I've always, since I first sensed that, very carefully, word carefully to God, to the angels of the person, all ascended masters on planet Earth has 9 personal angels that travel with us at all times. And then the others have an assortment of from 2 maybe to 8. And so we have a lot of people. You have a lot of people who are very famous, who have discovered things, and some of them go on to weave it into a way that many people can benefit from it. And so those are all ascended masters. And it's very interesting. Our church services are smaller, unfortunately. I took 3 very severe falls where I should have been killed, but I survived better than I should have survived, and that was the God intervention. And so as we've, you know, I couldn't do anything for a couple of years. And so people stayed in touch with me, and then as I was able to start to do healing work and all kinds of things, I still had a small limp that just wouldn't leave. And so I said, aside from me understanding that people who limp need more attention, why won't this leave? And with that, most of it left. So once in a great while, I'll limp, but I'll say, I don't need you here. You're not part of my reality. And it, the next 2 steps and it's gone. So it's been a very strange thing because I could see and hear since I was a child. I had to be careful. So when I reached a place where I actually could use my gifts, it was I was extremely careful. I was used to people calling me names and, you know, all that. So once I discovered that, I just said, God, please support me in a way I don't care if I understand it or not. And all the doors opened, and I found other people, because I kept saying, God, it would be nice to find people like me. So if any of you out there feel like you need to find people like yourself, just ask God to bring them to you or bring you to them or find out where the meetings are or, you know, what's going on. So there's a lot of us around the globe now. There's so many global circles and so many global things happening. And I was privileged to read this wonderful email that came to my friend. He said, you will appreciate this. And it was, he lives in London, England, and he said, in many ways, the United States falls behind, especially in health, in healing people. And he said that they formed a circle. I don't know how many people, but it sounded like 50 to 100, to have the doctors of the United States become more progressive, to get away from the prescribed things that have been going on over there for 200 years and kind of step into the world. And so I remember in 1997, we had just officially opened the Earth Mother Father Foundation, and I was invited to a conference up in just above Ventura, California. And so what we did, I took one more person with me, and I said, I think there should be 2 of us. I'm going to pay your way. And it was a world conference of healers. There were no members from the United States, so they chose to come to the United States. California is very progressive. Meet in the Ventura area so people could come down from the north and up from the south. And I just flew over from Arizona. And what I discovered, I was so excited to meet people and find out different things and, you know, do exchanges in the classes. And we were shunned. We were United States citizens. And I couldn't believe it. And this one gentleman came up. He was from London, England, and he started talking to us. And he said, we need more of you to get out there and let people see you do know what you're talking about. You do know what you're doing while you're healing. And he said, you have an unusual connection with God. And so he stuck his neck out And the next morning, and there were certain hallways, they really picked a wonderful hotel that, you know, had a lot of advantages. There was about 400 people at the conference from 39 countries. And so he stood out there. He said, put your own stuff on my table. I am going to put, that's where my table's been assigned. And when you're standing there, I'm going to start making a lot of noise and calling attention to you need to come and meet this American. And I never got over that. I was so stunned. And then I went through about a minute of being embarrassed. And then I went, okay, God, we need some help here. I don't need to be embarrassed because I can see the energies. I see their auras. My aura is just as big and bright as theirs. So anyway, that's how this wonderful gentleman, who we stayed in touch with for about 5 years, and then my traveling got even heavier, and I told him it would be, you know, once in a while, not all the time. He and his wife, it was wonderful. But that's how we got started, and talking to people that we were trained in the United States. And I said, I can't tell you about my conventional training because it all came through God. But God trained me in the United States of America, Los Angeles, California, you know. And then a few got interested and they started coming and say, how did you get started? So the whole story I've been telling you and sharing with you is how I got started. And although I've attended like seminars and workshops, I've never attended classes, and I'll just explain this one thing. It's always stood out in my memory. It was about maybe 8 years ago, and a lady walked in. She had an appointment. She said, oh, I'm so excited. I heard you're a Reiki master, and you're this and that, and I'm not a Reiki master. And I said, well, before we begin, I need to correct something. I am not a Reiki master. You're not? What do? Well, I connect with God and your angels, and I ask your angels to come forward so I can introduce them to you, and then God and your angels tell me what to do for you. So she got, you could see, she became very frightened, and I said, I'm an intuitive, energetic healing facilitator. I do what I hear to do. And she said, okay, I think. I said, if you will allow me to start, if you become uncomfortable, you say, stop, I need to sit up, and I'll sit you right up. So we got started, and all these wonderful things came in for her. She was very, very gifted beyond what she understood at that time. And she opened her eyes, and I was doing this unusual movement with my hands. But, you know, I just do what I'm shown or here to do for each person, so it's very different. And she smiled at me, nodded her head, and just closed her eyes, and we just continued. And when the session was over, she said, you remember me opening my eyes? And I said, oh, of course I do. She said, you were doing Reiki on me. So she said, you're right. I guess I needed Reiki, and God brought it right to you. And there's no way that I could say to you, I could go back and duplicate that, because I would never be able to. But I've had other people tell me that I do this or that technique or some other technique. And I said, isn't God wonderful? Whatever you need, God just uses me, you know, I'm an instrument.
Yes, and it seems that when we're very surrendered in that way to our source, that the language we need to speak with particular people at times just comes in. It's just, like you said, we become a vehicle, a vessel for what is needed, and somehow the divine can orchestrate you into having that appear to the person in the way they can most receive it. So you were able to send this energy through a form of Reiki, which she could relate to. Would you share with us one of your most moving stories of someone whose life changed, who you worked with, and where you were just deeply touched by them?
I'm going to recite a wonderful healing magic that happened right where you live. Because, you know, I used to come into there for years, three times a year. And one of my clients called ahead of time and said, I have a gentleman who's been crippled for 5 years, and I can't get him to come to you because he said that, you know, I don't want a pagan. And he said, I've been going to her for 3 years, and she's no pagan. So anyway, it just started.
And just to make sure everyone who's listening knows, we love pagans. So
yes,
so
yes.
There's no misunderstanding. It's just funny to how people call you this and that and make it wrong and make it right. And
right. Yeah.
just talking to your angels and following your source, God. I get it.
Right, that's about it.
Yeah.
So he didn't warn me until I got into your area. My client said, I have an appointment with you, but I also have an appointment for my friend. And I'm going to bring him the first day you're there, and then I'll have my appointment the second day you're there. And he said, I just needed to give you a little heads up. You talk to God because this is, you know, it's going to be a challenge. Okay. So he arrived, and he carried his friend in, and he put him on, on the healing table. And I said, hello, how are you? And he said, I'm not sure, but you look normal. And I said, oh, thank you, thank you. And he said something about, that's really red hair. And I said, yep. There's, in my family, there's three of us with red hair and one's a blonde. And he said, oh, my, I can't believe it. So that got him to talk a little bit. And then I said, would you share with me what happened to you? So anyway, he was working in construction, and 5 years before, he took a misstep, and he came down off of the top of a garage on both feet, and the feet and the ankle shattered, and, you know, it was terrible. So he had been in a wheelchair since that time. And I said, all I need you to do is believe in God. He said, oh, I was going to talk to you about that because I have to tell you before you touch me that I'm only here because I trust my friend and I can't believe in you. I said, oh, I'm so thrilled. I don't want you to believe in me. The big question is, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. And I said, okay, bring God into you in your way. And you're going to hear me talking and asking for the support of you, dear God, for the support of your personal angels. I'm going to give you the name of your personal angel, who's the spokes angel on behalf of everybody. They are our intuition. And so they can't all talk at the same time because it would interfere with your intuition because we're in a third dimensional understanding. So we got started, and I had my assistant with me, and she was in the room, always introduced and asked permission to be in the room to take the notes. I said, I keep all my notes on everybody and situations. So if you call me, all I do is look at it, brings in my memory right away, and then I remember what we did. So he went, yes, it's okay, she's in the room. She sat in a chair away from him where she could just take notes. And so we got started, and I had my eyes open, then I closed my eyes, and all of a sudden my assistant, who is very calm, cool, and collected, went, oh, my God, I can't believe it, you know. And then I looked, and his legs were moving.
Wow.
And then the ankles started moving.
Wow.
And so I had my hands on his shoulders, because he was so frightened. So I didn't want to try to touch where the wounds were in case that would scare him.
Yeah.
So I just went through the shoulders. And God came right in, and his whole body heated up, and he was going, "Oh, am I warm? The pain is leaving." That's about all he said until my assistant went, "Oh, Mary Margaret, you better look. Oh, my goodness, everything's moving."
Wow.
And I had my eyes closed at that moment in time. So so what I did is I leaned over and I said, "How's the pain?" And he said, "There is no pain."
Mm.
And I said, "Your friend is right here." And his friend rushed right over because
yes.
he was sitting away from him.
Yes.
And he said, I'll just use his first name. There's many people by that first name. So they just, he said, "Alan, Alan, are you okay?" And he said, "I think a miracle has just taken place." And now I'm saying to God, "Why me?" And so we said, "What if we assist you to stand up?" He said, "I want to stand up, but I'm very nervous. I'm a little frightened." So I said, "I'm going to stand to one side. Your friend is going to slide you all the way down. My assistant is going to grab you. And I'm going to be standing where my hands can go on your back and down to the lower back and then onto your legs." "Okay," he said. And when we did that, and I would say, "Any pain?" He'd say, "Not yet." And so when I slid down and got to his legs, I said, "Let's step now. Take a step. Take a step." And he just walked right out of his friend's reach.
Wow.
And then my assistant raced over to the door because he wanted to walk up and down.
That's so beautiful. You know, I sent one of my favorite clients to you in the last year, and I've never heard the end. She thinks you're the best thing since, you know, bread was in Witt's expression, sliced bread. Yes,
oh,
yes, it's an ongoing letters about how wonderful you are and how great you are and how you've changed her life. So I want to make sure that people who are listening who want to get in touch with you can be helped by you, because that was such a beautiful story. And I know there's a lot of people out there who have extreme challenges and need help. And Mary Margaret Rose helps all kinds of challenges. She's helped me with challenges very, very amazingly well. And so it doesn't matter if the challenge is small or big. It doesn't matter if it's mental, spiritual, emotional, physical, all of the above, relationship, profession, whatever it is, she's there to help. So I want to first give everyone her number, which is 928-282-1146. That's 928-282-1146. And then there's two websites, MaryMargaretRose.com. That's MaryMargaretRose.com. And Margaret, by the way, is spelled M-A-R-G-A-R-E-H-T. That's M-A-R-G-A-R-E-H-T. And there's also the Earth Mother Father Foundation. And what is the link to that, Mary Margaret Rose, the website for the Earth Mother Father Foundation?
Oh, it's very similar. It's earthmotherfatherfoundation.com.
Okay, great. So I want to end with your phone number one more time so they can just call you very easily. It's 928-282-1146. And before we end this interview, is there anything else that you are hoping to share with our listeners?
I was complaining bitterly for about a year to God about these severe falls, and they weren't just ordinary falls. I flew through the air and all these things that happened. And I was having a bad time, a lot of pain. And God came and said, you will see now that you're complaining that you're going to learn from these. And you're going to see how this changes your life and your understanding. And you do listen well, so you have a lot more understanding than many of the people who help. But it's going to be a new rounded way. It's going to take several years, and I'm starting to see that now. I hear different, and I cannot explain it. I'm sure after a few more months, I'll be able to explain it. And then this very strange vibrating, but it vibrates in a different way than I'm used to. It goes up and down and then sideways and then back up and down. When that comes in, the person is just like raised. They can feel, they say, I'm sitting in the chair, or I'm laying on the table, but I feel like I'm way up in the air. I'm really moving through God. People who are very ill, would I ask permission from dear God, may we ask your angels to take us up energetically into your heart chakra. And so what's going on the last few years is when I can't make a headway, all of a sudden God will say, just ask out loud with the person here and any people they have with them. A lot of people ask to come in the healing room because the person's frightened. And I always, if the person wants them in the healing room, I don't care if you have 10 people, you are in the healing room with that person. And so, and taking people who hang on to their illness without realizing it, I ask for the God angels to come and take all of us up into your heart chakra, where we can heal inside your heart energetically. And everybody who's taken there, it's just automatic. It's like whatever piece they're hanging on to that's frightening them, leave.
Beautiful. What a gift. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. I'm so happy you shared that with people, because that's going to answer a lot of different questions and concerns and thoughts people are having. There's a lot to that. I'm going to actually want to listen to that one again a few times at least. So thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time to be with wonderful people around the world. Thank you for being with me today. It's been a great pleasure. I'm very happy you're here. I'm very happy we had this talk, this interview. So thank you, Mary Margaret Rose. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I want to wish you, your partner, and the people listening to allow your thinking to open. Because you and God, and not you and me, but you and God, your personal angels, can change your life.
And that is a beautiful message to end with.